Yadrucha, Yadruchaya. All of a sudden, without engagement. Agatam arrived. Tatra, there. Darsha, he saw. Pramada, one woman. Uttamam, very beautiful. Ritjahai, surrounded by servants. Dashavihi, 10. Ayantim, coming forward. Eka Eka, each one of them. Shata, of hundreds. Nayakahe, the leaders. Translation, while wandering here and there in that wonderful garden, King Paranjana suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. So you can repeat, while wandering here and there, in that wonderful garden, King Paranjana suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her. And each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The body has already been compared to a beautiful garden. During youth, the sex impulse is awakened and the intelligence, according to one's imagination, is prone to contact the opposite sex. In youth, a man or woman is in search of the opposite sex by intelligence or imagination, if not directly. The intelligence influences the mind, and the mind controls the 10 senses. 5 of these senses gather knowledge, and 5 work directly. Each sense has many desires to be fulfilled. This is the position of the body and the owner of the body, Paranjana, who is within the body. Yadrichyagatam tatra darasya pramadottamam brichyara dasavirayantim ekaikashata nayakahai. So Om Magadat Timranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this is quite an interesting story, which can be understood on different levels. Of course, one is the direct or the obvious level, where this king is wandering in the forest and he sees a girl and he becomes attracted. And another level is the metaphorical level, in which we have this intelligence, and the intelligence is connected with the 10 senses, both active and perceptive senses, and these senses have, practically speaking, unlimited. The senses themselves don't have desires. You know, let's be specific about this. But the senses have unlimited, like, objects which are coming from the desires of the mind and the intelligence. Intelligence is generally in the mode of passion, it's described. The intelligence is created in the mode of passion. Of course, there's spiritual intelligence by which one can discriminate what is favorable for devotional service and what is not favorable for devotional service. Anyway, so there's these two ways of understanding this verse, and perhaps there are even more ways than this. Let's take the first way, how one becomes attracted just without any training, basically. One becomes attracted to the opposite sex, or one becomes attracted to sense objects. I'll tell an interesting story in this regard. It's from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the story of King Yayati. It's a very romantic story. What happened is that once upon a time, There were some girls who were bathing in the river. Actually, several, you know, hundreds of them, or thousands of the girls. And they were headed up by the king's daughter, Sarmishta. And, of course, there was another girl called Devyani there, who was the daughter of Shukracharya. The king's name was Vrishaparva. So they were bathing in the river, and then along comes Lord Shiva riding on his bull. And, of course, naturally, the girls got embarrassed. In the old days, when there was some swimming, the girls and the boys, they would swim in different areas of the river or the ocean or wherever they would go swimming or a sacred place. It's not that they would have, like, coeducational swimming. Like nowadays you go to the beach and, you know, men and women are together doing so many abominable things. But in the Vedic culture, there was natural separation between men and women, especially in public. I mean, generally you wouldn't see men and women walking hand in hand. Like even nowadays, unfortunately, you go to Govardhan Hill and you see people, young boys and girls walking arm in arm, hand in hand, circumambulating Govardhan Hill, which is kind of weird. Because Govardhan Hill is definitely not a maturely romantic spot. But anyway, so Lord Shiva passed by, and they got embarrassed, and they ran out of the river, and they put their clothes on. And as they were putting their clothes on, you know, some of them put the wrong clothes on. In other words, some of them put someone else's clothes on. And that happens, you know, if you're in a hurry. Remember when I was a young brahmachari, we would all share the same clothes. In Los Angeles, there was one bin with dhotis, one bin with kurtas, not even kurtas, like t-shirts. In those days, we didn't understand what kurtas were. And one bin with socks and other things like that, and you just take whatever. Of course, men can do that. Women, they have a problem. But the men, you know, we never fought. We actually never fought in the early days. Oh, that's my dhoti. You got a nicer looking dhoti than me. Never had that problem. I don't even remember once. Even though some of the dhotis had holes in them. And, you know, we didn't care. We were detached. So what happened is that these two girls, well, actually what happened is that Sarmishta put on Devyani's clothes by accident. And Devyani is a Brahmin lady. She was born in a Brahmin family, Shukracharya's father. And Sarmishta was Kshatriya. So the Brahmins are considered like higher. So Devyani got really angry. He said, what are you, Kshatriya's, you know, low class or lower class people, you know, putting on my clothes and contaminating everything? And Sarmishta, being a Kshatriya, naturally had a tendency to fight. And not only with her mouth. Brahmanas fight with their mouths and Kshatriyas fight with their arms. Because the Brahman is the head of society and the Kshatriya is the arms of society. Vaishya is the stomach of society, the belly. And the Shudra is the legs. So there was a fight, and of course the Kshatriya won. Brahmanas are not such good fighters. So what happened is that Sarmishta threw Devyani into a well, you know, without any clothes on. And so she was there in this well. It was like completely naked and trapped in the well. So what happened is that this king, his name was Yayati, was out hunting. That's another point, that Kshatriyas in those days, they would hunt to practice the skills that they needed to conquer their enemies. And also they would hunt to protect the citizens from wild tigers and lions and rhinoceri. And so there's different reasons. So anyways, he was out hunting, and then he went to get a drink of water at the well. And, you know, it's quite an interesting thing. You go to get a drink of water at a well, and you look down, there's a naked girl on the bottom. So he looked down, and he saw Devyani. And he reached down his hand, and basically, there was it was love at first sight. There was no need for any sort of introduction, training, anything like that. It was just like, she said, now you have to marry me. Because he had an objection, even though he fell in love with her. His objection was that she was a Brahmin and he was Kshatriya. That is called a pratilom arrangement. Pratilom means it is prohibited for a higher class woman to marry a lower class man. It was interesting. Sometimes people say that women are all the same class and they just take the class of their husband. But in this particular case, you understand, and it's illustrated, that women do have varnas too. So he objected. He said, well, this is not really proper. And she said, basically, I'm in love with you. But also, I've been cursed to marry a Kshatriya instead of a Brahmin. So, you know, I have to go along with the curse. And the curse was very interesting. That curse was given by a personality named Kaccha. Kaccha had been trained. Kaccha was actually the son of Brihaspati. And he had been trained by Shukracharya to learn the art of bringing a dead person back to life, Mrityu Sanjeevani. So, and while he was being trained by Shukracharya, Devayani sort of fell in love with him. You know, this falling in love happens automatically. There's no training required. But like Prabhupada says here, and during youth, the sex impulse is awakened and the intelligence, according to one's imagination, is prone to contact the opposite sex. And so it's just like, it just happens. Like, you know, someone goes through puberty and they're just like, you know, they change. You know, they fall in love or whatever. So anyway, so she had fallen in love with Kaccha, but Kaccha had considered her to be like his sister. Why his sister? Because his guru, at least the guru who was training him in Mrityu Sanjeevani, was like the father. So you don't marry your sister. I mean, it's just like, you know, he's your father, he's your sister. And he always dealt with her like that, you know, sister. And so he said to her, he said to her at the end of this training that he got from Shukracharya, he said to her that, you're just like my sister. I can't marry you. It's not proper. And she got really angry because we know from lust comes anger, right? Jayato vishayak pumzak sango steshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate. There's one interesting story in the Bible about this. There's this personality, David, in the Bible. Anyone's heard of him before? And then he was, wasn't he approached by the queen of Sheba or something like that? Anyway, he was approached by the queen, who was already married to the king. And the queen said, David, I'm in love with you. And he said, basically, you're the queen's wife. Or the king's wife, sorry. Not like nowadays. You're the king's wife. So, no. And then she got so angry, what did she do? She accused him of trying to seduce her. And then he got put in jail as a result of that. You see, also Arjuna, he was approached by this Urvasi. And Urvasi just was in love with him, and Arjuna said, you're just like my mother. And then as a result, she got so angry, she cursed him to become eunuch. So this is interesting about lust. You know, it awakens naturally, one falls in love and everything, and then it turns to wrath. Krishna talks about this in the Bible. Not in the Bible, sorry. Bible also, from the Bhagavad Gita. Lust, it turns to wrath, and no, it's the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world, just like you have this verse, avritam jnaname tena, jnanino nitya bhairina. That one's intelligence becomes covered by this enemy, lust. Nitya bhairina, that means eternal enemy. It's your eternal enemy. Avritam jnaname tena jnanino nitya bhairina. It's your enemy. Vairana means enemy. It's your enemy. It's your eternal enemy. And kama rupena, it's known. The form is kama, lust, kontya, dushparena, and lenacha. And not only is it your enemy and it causes anger, but it's always burning you. It's turning you into a slave. I mean, people worry about going to hell with the eternal fires of hell, their brimstone. You know, brimstone, fire, fires. So this lust is like that. It's burning you all the time. It's like being in hell. It's like just like being in hell. Anyway. So what happened is that, getting back to the story, is that Devyani got angry and she cursed him. This Kacha, she said, whatever you've learned from my father, that will be useless. You will not be able to bring someone back to life. You know, this Kacha spent like 100 years taking lessons. It's quite frustrating. And then Kacha got very angry and he cursed Devyani. He said, all right, you curse me, I curse you. This, of course, is not the proper brahminical status. Or activity or consciousness, that if someone attacks us, we're not supposed to attack back. Like, what is it in the Bible? It says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And nowadays they say an eye, tooth for a tooth, then the whole world would be blind and without teeth, if that was the case. Because everybody would be trying to take revenge on everybody else, basically. And that's what you see in the Balkan area in Europe. The Balkan area means like Serbia and Croatia and everything like that. There's animosity, multi-generational animosity. You know, you killed my uncle, you killed my father, or you people, rather than you people. You Croatians, or you Serbs, or you Albanians, or you whatever. Of course, the Slovenians are sort of aloof from that. They're transcendental. In Slovenia, they never get angry. So, but at least the other part of the Balkans, they have this multi-generational animosity, just getting even. So there was this curse and counter-curse by Kacha, you should not marry a brahmana. And so as a result of that, Devyani had to marry this Yayati. And anyway, they fell in love. It was just like a natural thing. You know, because the desires are there. Actually, it's interesting, you know, talking about desires, we talk about the whole cycle of karma when we're talking about the nectar devotion thing, isn't it? Like there's the seed, or there's the tendency for desire. And it's just lying there. The seed is just waiting to be watered. That's called the papa bijam. The bijam means like a seed. Papa means sin. Sin means basically anything other. I mean, we're defining sin in a larger context right now. Anything other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sin means like self-centeredness. So there are all these little seeds lying in our heart. Just like you have, sometimes people make sprouts for me. Mung bean sprouts. So you add some water to the mung beans. And if it is very warm, even within one day, these sprouts are starting to come out. It has to have the proper proper temperature, too. So mung beans, you can sprout almost anything. It's really interesting. Just studying about my health, you can sprout wheat, you can sprout quinoa, I think, even. You can sprout nuts, even. Nuts, they actually sprout. I don't know if you're aware of this. Like almonds, they sprout. You put almonds in water. When they still have their cover on them, they sprout, and they're actually considered healthier. So in the same way, so practically any of these things you can sprout, any sort of seed, or anything that's not dead, that hasn't been fried. Because when you fry something, you can't sprout it anymore. And even they have chickpeas. Prabhupada talked about this. Chickpeas or garbanzo beans that were found in the pyramids, the Egyptian pyramids. Thousands of years they've been sitting there. And they add some water and they sprout. It's interesting. So we have all these little seeds in our heart right now, like billions of seeds. This was also described here. This is very interesting, described here, that the hundreds of wives accompanying each servant, that means each of the senses, had hundreds of wives accompanying them. That means there's all these desires that not manifest. There's the kuta and the bijam, right? The kuta means the tendency, bijam means the actual seed. So, and that comes from Papa. Anyway, we understand it's a whole cycle. You commit sinful activities, then you get parabdha karma, you get aparabdha karma. Aparabdha is not yet manifest. Parabdha means manifest karma. And then from that, you also get the kuta and the bija. So anyway, so we have all these seeds here, and all it takes is just a little bit of water, and the seeds sprout. A little bit of water, the right circumstance, and the seeds are sprouting. Quite interesting. So, let's get back to the point. So, Devayani and Sarmishta were there. And then Yayati got married to Devayani with the permission of her father, of course. And then Shukracharya was so angry that this Sarmishta had thrown his daughter into the well, that he was getting ready to curse the king, Vrishabharva. So he went to the king, Vrishabharva, to try to curse him, and Vrishabharva understood what was happening. So before he could curse, before Shukracharya could curse, Vrishabharva offered dandavats at Shukracharya's feet. He said, "Please forgive me for what my daughter did." And Shukracharya was still a little angry, but Vrishabharva understood. In order to placate Shukracharya, he gave his daughter, Sarmishta, as the servant of Devayani. So, because when an important girl got married, she didn't just get married, let's say, alone. All of her servants, associates, friends, they actually went with her when she was an important girl. They all went with her, and they accompanied her, and sometimes they would stay for their whole lives serving her. Because an important princess would always have servants. And these servants would stay with her forever. They weren't employees. They were actually, they just had love for the girl. And they would stay with her and serve her. So anyway, this Sarmishta was forced to go with Devayani. And Sarmishta was told, and the king was told, King Yati was told, that there should be no relationship between Sarmishta and Yayati, because Devayani would get very upset. So they went with that intention, and Yayati was living with Devayani, but at the same time, he became attracted to Sarmishta, and Sarmishta was attracted to him. So that's showing how the desires can be there, even though you know it's going to be very dangerous for you. I mean, imagine if you offend someone like Shukracharya. He can curse you. And this is exactly what happened. So Devayani discovered that her husband had been having some relationship with Sarmishta. The reason she discovered is because Sarmishta had some kids. That's a good way to discover it. And then she understood that the kids would go to Yati and say, "Daddy." So it was obvious, you know, something was happening there. It's not that she had, like, video cameras everywhere in the palace. So anyway, she went running back to her father, you know, to complain about her husband. And her husband being so attached to her, that shows how lust does to you. He was so attached, he was just, like, crawling behind her, like, grabbing her feet. You know, touching her feet and say, "Please don't do this. But she was just overcome with anger. So love turns to anger. Lust turns to anger. You know, if she actually loved him, she would have said, "All right, I understand. You couldn't control your senses. You know, chant Hare Krishna." So obviously she was thinking that he belongs to me. That's one thing about lust. It invokes a sense of ownership. That one thinks, "I'm yours, you're mine," and like that, rather than thinking that everybody belongs to Krishna, obviously. And I belong to Krishna, you belong to Krishna, we all belong to Krishna. So they went, basically, Shukracharya was also angry that his daughter had been offended. And Devyani was followed by Yayati, who was just crawling on his feet, you know, touching her feet. Crawling on his belly, basically, touching her feet. Really funny scenario. And Shukracharya said, because you've been so lusty, I curse you. And I curse you to have old age, invalidity, immediately. And so immediately he just like became old and impotent. But Devyani was upset with that curse too. Because then she couldn't enjoy him anymore. So Yayati went before Shukracharya and said, you've got to do something about this. You've got to correct this. You know, not only am I not going to be able to enjoy, but your daughter's not going to be able to enjoy. And so Shukracharya said, all right, you can have your youth back, but you have to borrow it from one of your sons. And so Yayati went to his sons. You know, there was Yadu and two other sons and Puru. And basically, they all refused, except for Puru. And Puru said, yes, Dad, whatever you want. And he exchanged his youth. And Yayati was able to enjoy, so-called enjoy, with his wife for many, many thousands of years until he came to the realization that it wasn't enjoyment. You know, it took him like tens of thousands of years. And then he told his wife another story. That, you know, there's so many nice metaphorical stories that are there in the Bhagavatam. He told his wife another story comparing himself to be a he-goat and his wife to be a she-goat that was lost in a well. And the he-goat dug the she-goat out with his horns on his head. And he compared himself like that, like lusty, and then how the he-goat had lost his masculinity and then through a surgery had gotten it put back on again. And so his wife understood, and then they both became renounced, and he gave his youth back to his son Puru. And then he became a great devotee after tens of thousands of years. So, interesting story. So this story illustrates some of the points that are made in this verse. There's many other stories that illustrate how this lust takes away one's intelligence and makes one act in a way that's counterproductive for one's welfare. Many, many stories. Maybe take one real quickly. Is the Viswamritamuni. Viswamritamuni and his desire to become a Brahma Rishi succumbed to lust two times. One is because Menaka came to him, and then as a result, Shakuntala was born. And then another time, Ramba came and he burnt Ramba to ashes because he was able to conquer his lust with anger. So you have these instances of you know, this horrible, all-devouring, burning lust that is really wasting one's time, destroying one's human form of life. You know, the intention of one's human form of life is to be Krishna conscious. And so the question is, how do you conquer it? You know, with 5 more minutes left of class, we'll talk how to conquer it. So we conquer it, as I mentioned here in this verse, through intelligence. There's two ways to conquer it. One is if one's a neophyte. Once a neophyte, you use intelligence. You discriminate. You say, before you begin to contemplate, you say, this will not be helpful to my spiritual progress. You know, there may be something that's attractive that catches the corner of your eye. Something catches your eye. Whether, we're not just talking about lust in terms of the sex desire, but any sort of sense object, as mentioned in the Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vega, Manasa Kravata Vega, Jiva Begum, Udur Pashta Begum. There's many things that, many ways that lust is manifested through the desire, you know, just to speak, Vacho Begum, the pushing, the mind's desire to enjoy varieties within this world, Manasa Kroda, anger, the tongue's desire to eat different tasty foodstuffs. The belly's desire to be full, what do they say, barriga llena, corazón contenta. That means when one has a full belly, the heart is happy or content. That's Spanish. And then, of course, the genitals. Manasa Kurota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udurupashta Vegam. So one should use his intelligence when one perceives danger. What is it? What do they say? An ounce of precaution is worth a pound of cure, right? You ever hear that saying before? Ounce of precaution. Just like when we're driving a car, we put a seatbelt on. Of course, in India, they don't wear seatbelts. It's interesting. I've been in taxis in India where they have seatbelts. I put it on, and the driver says, we're not in Delhi yet. You don't have to put it on. Because in Delhi, they have a rule that you have to wear a seatbelt. So the driver only puts his seatbelt on in the places where he would get in trouble from not having the seatbelt. So he says, no, don't put it on. We're not in Delhi. You don't have to worry. And I said, I am going to worry. And people are driving around in motorcycles and all sorts of things, no helmets. And even when they have a helmet, they never put the helmet on the wife in the back. You know, it's interesting. Isn't it in India? You know, the man's driving around a helmet, uniform, so he's protected. So the poor woman, just like her head is exposed, everything's exposed. It's just like they don't care if she gets brain damage or anything like that because he's a man. So I was interesting in India like that. So, no, you take precautions. You wear a helmet. You put your seatbelt on. You do so many things. You look both ways before crossing a street, right? It's not that you say, Krishna's going to protect me. You know, I can just go across the street no matter how many cars are coming. It's going to be all right. No. Just like when I go bicycling, I put my helmet on. I have a little mirror. I look in to see if a car is coming. You know, so many things. So with spiritual life, we have to have like mirrors, you know, see what's coming in the back, you know, before it comes. And I see a car is coming and it's not really pulling far to the left, then I'll pull off the road to avoid it. You know, I'm just very cautious like that. So, because otherwise, if I wasn't cautious, you know, what is it, a pound of cure? You know, then you get hit by a car and you have to spend the next, you know, 3 years in a hospital or physical rehabilitation or something like that just because you're not careful. Or I was in India one time and a bull was chasing me, you know, big bull. And I ran over a hill to get, you know, over an embankment. And everyone was laughing at me. They said, why are you afraid? You know, yeah, you're so afraid. Krishna will protect you. I said, you know, Krishna, Prabhupada was even gored by a bull. I don't want to be gored by a bull. So you take precaution. So that's for some, those of us who aren't very advanced, you know, little advanced, or at least we've accepted Krishna consciousness. You see it coming. You put your mirror on, you know, or you have, like nowadays they have cameras in the back of the car. It's when you're backing up the car, you can see where you're going. See, and then you don't contemplate that thing. Or you take shelter, you start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, when you feel the least bit of desire come, you just start chanting in your heart and in your mind, and you're out loud if you're in a place where you can chant out loud. So that's one thing. Now, if you're very advanced, then that's not a problem because you're not identifying yourself with the body anymore, with the 10 senses, the 5 senses that gather knowledge, and the 5 senses that are active, and all their, you know, different desires or whatever it is. You're not identifying. You're identifying yourself with the spiritual form. Like Ramananda Roy, what was he able to do? He was able to, as we mentioned the other day, he was able to dress the Devi Dasis and touch the Devi Dasis as preparing them to dance before Lord Jagannath. Why? Because he was identifying himself with his spiritual form as Vishakha. In other words, there was no external identification for him. He was just using the body as an instrument to serve Krishna. Like you may use a computer or a car or a pen or a recorder or any of those things. You just use them. You don't identify. Like, you know, simple Krishna consciousness. You don't say, I car. Or you don't even say, I body. Like that. So So that's a later stage of devotional service, and then one doesn't have to worry about any of these things, these attractive features in this mature world. Now we have to worry. You should be worried. Prabhupada said, you Western boys and girls, you're not enough afraid of Maya. Confirmed. Okay. Confirmed by Radha Goloka Nanda.